We have a illustrated video that we're going to watch. First Corinthians chapter 9, beginning with verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run? Anybody know that? We're good? Following along okay? We understand. All the runners run, but only one receives the prize. It's kind of like that Super Bowl thing going on today. There's going to be two that are battling out, but only one will be considered the champions overall. Here's the challenge. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Now, you might not recognize the translation words, but I will say this is very accurate to the culture. The crown that you would receive running a race back in that time with the original Greek games, which became the Olympics, was literally a crown of leaves that went around your head that you wore with pride of saying, I'm the champion. But it wasn't actually gold and silver crown. It was a wreath more than it was anything else. But we have something that won't wither. And that makes a lot of sense now, doesn't it? Something that won't wither. They couldn't keep theirs looking fresh forever. Matter of fact, it probably just lasted a few days. Verse 26, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So there is our text for the day and the challenge, run to win. Let's check out this video and see what that might look like in the real world.
The 600 meter underway. Heather Dorner to Minnesota finished second in this event a year ago. She was in lane four.
And Dornan is probably going to be your favorite. She actually won the NCAA championships in 2006 in the 800, but she's only won one Big Ten championship in the 2 years.
You're wondering, this is a 600 meter run?
In this event, 600 meters.
Indoor championship race, the one that's in second.
She's
favored to win.
She's looking very confident. And
from the Minnesota Gophers, I believe.
She's just running amazing today. She did win her heat in the 400, but ended up taking
young Christian gal.
That's Fondor moving into the lead, sophomore from Penn State. Dornan's been running second.
She's in perfect position.
Dornan last year scored 23 points for the Golden Gophers in their Big Ten championship. So
everybody knows she's going to win
this. A lot of points from her this weekend. And
because of where she's at.
Just coming by Fondor now with a home stretch.
Down gets up quickly, but that's going to cost her. Lucky
final
she
lap.
Wasn't injured.
Her teammate just went to the front, though, so they may be able to recover from that. And Dornan is flying down the backstretch.
She is catching up.
She is going to catch Fondor, and she may catch the leader.
Wow. She's got a run.
This is a gutsy effort. Fondor.
People might have given up at that point. Hope that maybe someone would call foul and she'd get to re-race by the rules of the track. She wasn't about to do that. Another famous runner from the Olympics. look at the time. Pretty amazing. Coached track for 13 years. Coached football for 10. And one of the things I wanted to instill of each of my athletes, regardless of what they were doing, as a sport, you got to play as if you're going to win. One of the things I would tell my athletes, especially in track early in the season when we were first doing conditioning, I would tell them right up front, what you're going to experience the next 2 weeks is going to hurt. What I'm going to ask you to do is not going to be easy. But I make you this promise. If you do what I ask every single practice, you will be the best runner that you can be in your field. I never promised that they would win every race. But I promised them that they will be the best you can be. There's one young man that happened to be a part of my church that took me at face value on that. He didn't make it to the state track meet the year before, but I told him if he trusts me, I can take him all the way to state with a chance to win it. And he qualified 2 events. He didn't win the mile and he didn't win the 800, but he came in 2nd and 3rd. And he broke the school's record at the time when he ran. In order to get him to the level that he needed to be, I literally ran him against our 4x2 and our 4x1. If you don't know what that is, that's once around the track for the 4x1, and you have a baton, 4 people run it, they hand the baton off as they go. I wanted him to get that pace. So he ran against our 4x1. And when he ran his mile, he needed to know the pace to run as a champion, and so he ran against our 4x8. And I pushed him as far as I could without killing him. And he was outstanding. He raced better than he was as an athlete because he believed he could win. This young lady that just showed you her depth of dedication, her toughness of mind, and her athleticism, who was favored to win, I believe, if I understand the story correctly, she could have waited and just called for a foul. She could have called upon the judges, or at least the coach could have, and say, listen, she was interfered with. She should get a rerun, and they probably would have allowed it. I'm not guaranteeing it because it doesn't always happen that way, but it's possible that she could have run again, but she would have had to run on her own without any competition. Simply run against the clock. And every coach knows that that's a nightmare. Because you cannot perform at the level you need to if there's no one there in front of you to chase. It just doesn't work. But she never even hesitated. She got up and took off running to win the race. I never even considered that I'd lost. I just knew I had to run. Consider the words that we hear from our apostle that tells us that everybody runs. I want to say this. Everybody here is running a race. Every one of you is running a race. Now, some of you are not running the way you ought to. Some of you are like others that I've coached. You're there for the girls. You're there for the boys. You're there because you get out of school early. You get to run on Friday or maybe Thursday or Tuesday, and you get out of school all day sometimes, especially if you have to travel. And in Montana, by the way, you got to travel. But don't ask me to actually sweat. Don't ask me to hurt. Don't ask me to go all out, because that's not why I'm here, coach. I'm here just for fun. Well, guess what? You're not going to run your best. You're not going to be able to compete at the level that you could if you just dedicate some time and some sacrifice. There are way too many people running this race called life that are in it for the wrong reasons, and they're not giving it their all. This gal, her name is Heather, was in it for the championship. All of these runners had a chance to win that race, but Heather was favored because of how she had been competing all year long. They knew. And as a coach, when I saw where she was in that race, I knew she's going to win this race. You could see it. I had a girl that raced very much like her. I put her in different races. Sometimes she would run on a relay, but she would get into second place, and I knew she was just waiting for that turn, and she would win by 50 meters. I mean, she was that good. Matter of fact, in a relay, there was times where she would get it in sixth place, and we would still win. That's how good she was. It was fun to coach somebody like that. But then to see him fall. And now you're sitting there wondering, does she have the courage to get up? Will she get up and run? Or is she going to walk off the track and just say, I'm done? This girl didn't do that. She could have been satisfied coming in fourth place. Finished it, jogged it through. But she didn't do anything like that at all. She got up and she decided, I'm going to win this thing. And she did. The training, the self-denial, the sacrifice, the mental toughness, the working through the pain is what makes a champion runner, and it makes for a victorious Christian and in a victorious church. When you can get up when you fall, and you can run as if you will win, rather than just sit back and let somebody else take the prize, you are in it to win it kind of mentality. The apostle challenges us that everybody's running, but only one gets the prize. You need to run to get the prize. Will you do what it takes? Will you have the dedication that it takes to run in such a way that you may obtain the goal? Number one, everyone is running. Some are lazy. Some are selfish. Some are uncommitted. And I'm speaking from a general term and knowledge of having coached track for 13 years. I really enjoy coaching track, and maybe someday I'll get back into it again. I do miss it. And it's fun to take somebody who doesn't realize the potential that's there until they start sacrificing and giving of themselves more than they thought they could. I did have a few funny occasions. One girl came up to me and said, Coach, I really want to do the long jump. And I looked at her with a smile on my face. I said, that's so wonderful. That's awesome. I'm glad you have that desire. But you're not a long jumper. I'm sorry, but you're just not a long jumper. She goes, but I want to try. Well, there's nothing wrong with trying. Amen? So I said, well, let's go do that. Let's go give it a try. I'll give you some basic instruction, and then you run through a couple times, and then we're going to have you jump. And let's just see how this feels. And so we did that. And we went out to the runway, to the sand pit, and she does what I told her to do, and she got her footsteps pretty accurate. She wasn't too far off, you know. She was somewhere in there, you know. And she comes, and I said, okay, now we've done it three times. Now you're going to run and you're going to jump. And let's just see what happens. Okay, coach. And she takes off running. And she had the longest running stride I think I've ever seen. I mean, she was, I mean, she's running these tremendous long strides. And I'm thinking, oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. And she gets to that mark where she's going to jump. She gets to that white line, and she jumps, and she didn't make the pit. And I'm like, oh, I go up to her, and she's like, oh, coach. And she literally hits the end of the runway before the sand, and flat on her face, sand everywhere. She's taking it out of her mouth. And she goes, oh, coach, I'm so sorry. I feel so dumb. I said, don't feel bad. You're not a long jumper. I said, but I will say this. If you would have just ran through, you would have made the sand. You literally had at least another 3 to 4 feet longer just running than you did jumping. It was like, and we had a good laugh, and then we went back to what we were good at. Sometimes we get this idea that we're supposed to be a certain thing. God made you special and unique for a purpose. If you have a desire to serve, you have a desire, say, I would like to do the long jump. And if I say, as I feel led by God, I'm sorry, but you're not a long jumper. It's okay if we just find out by making some mistakes. It's okay. That's not the end of the world, right? But let's find out what we are called to do. Let's find out what we are good at, and let's give it everything we have. And that's what I encouraged her with that day. I said, we just found one thing that you can't do. Let's find something that you can do well and go there. I had a young man come up to me in football. I said, Coach, I'm a running back. I said, no, you're not. You are the farthest thing from a running back. But I want to try. Well, that's okay. And then I put him where he needed to be, on the line. He was an outstanding lineman. And at first he was a little upset. But then he found out how fun it was to pancake somebody. How to take them right off their feet and lay them on their back and let the running back score that touchdown, knowing full well that that running back wouldn't be in the end zone if it wasn't for me. And he found a special joy in playing his part well. We need to realize that we're running a race, and we are to run in such a way that we will get the prize. Don't be lazy in your walk with Christ. Are you aggressively seeking to do more for the kingdom of God, or are you sitting back and letting somebody else take the lead? Are you letting somebody else do what you are called to do? Are you committed? If you are, you're going to find out that there's a little bit of pain in the trials and the testings of faith. If you want to be a better athlete, you're going to have to hurt a little bit. I was sharing earlier today that when I ran the 400, I knew every single time I ran, there was going to be a wall. If you've ever run the race, you know what the wall is. It's pain. It doesn't matter how good an athlete you are, you're always going to feel the pain of that wall when you come around that curve and you give it all you got. You're going to hit that wall, but if you're strong enough and committed enough, you run through the pain and you get to the finish line. A lot of kids won't run the 400. For whatever reason, it's the most dreaded race in all of track kingdom. And I would say to an athlete, one of them who's playing professional basketball right now, he's playing for the minor league for the, who is it now? Is it Miami? Heat, I think? I don't remember. Anyway, he's a South Dakota State graduate. I told him, Skyler, you would be an amazing 400 runner if you just gave me something. I will never run the 400, he said. And I finally got him to do it once. And he won. And I walked up to him, and I had a big old smile on my face. He goes, don't say it, Coach. he never ran it again. But he did, I don't even remember what our deal was, but he ran it once. But what was his sport? His sport was basketball. He's doing it well. Turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort. Every effort. What does it look like to run as a Christian in the athletic view of things? What does that sacrifice? What does that practice? What does that discipline look like? Well, this is a great passage to give us an idea. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective, unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does this look like to sacrifice? What does it look like to train in this idea of running the race as if you are going to win, which, by the way, you are a winner if you run this race the way God called you to. You are victorious. You will receive that crown of victory in Jesus' name, but it looks like sacrifice to me. You talk to a long-distance runner, and you get into one of those huddles, and I've been in a few of those. I'm not a specialist when it comes to long distance. I know enough to be dangerous, and that's about it. But I've had the blessing to travel with the cross-country team a little bit from our college. And it's interesting what they talk about. They talk about the miles. How many miles do you do? How many miles have you done this week? They don't talk about hours or minutes. They talk about miles, and it's usually in that 18 to 20 range. Putting on the miles. Why? Because they need to be better at long distance. There's other things. I was blessed to be able to go up to the college and help out the basketball men's team and help them with some agility and skills, training for speed and agility to make their footwork better on the feet, on the court. And according to what I've been told, it was really paying off well for those guys that I was blessed to help with. But it took sacrifice. It took time. It took energy. It took getting sore. And sometimes we want to just coast through our Christian faith as if it's no big deal. Well, that's not the way we're supposed to run. Are we running to win? Or are we just a big social club that wants to hang out? Like so many in the track program often found themselves. Well, how about Philippians? Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Starting with verse 17, and then we'll read the first verse of chapter 4. Keep in mind that when these things were written, they did not number them. The numbers came later. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame and minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Are you going to stand firm? Are you going to be disciplined in your faith walk? Are you going to be committed to running the race in such a way that you discipline your body so you can win the race? Now, the idea that Paul wanted to get across was not that there's only one that crosses the finish line first. That could be assumed by the text and by how it was given. But what he wanted the people to realize is what it took for that athlete to get to the finish line first is the way you need to sacrifice your life in Christ. Are you willing to give that much? Are you willing to give that much of your body and your life and your sacrifice for Him? Giving it all to Christ is painful at times. It's not always easy. It's not always roses, sugar plums, and whatever else you want to use to describe it. And by the way, if you've ever grabbed onto a rose bush, they kind of hurt too. It's kind of funny if you don't know what you're doing and you grab onto one and you find yourself bleeding because of the thorns. I thought this was all wonderful. No, it kind of hurts a little bit. Whoops. Be a little smarter grabbing that rose, right? Colossians chapter 3. Let's look there. Verse Verse 2 through verse 3, it says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. That's discipline. That's saying to yourself as an athlete, I'm not going to go to Cold Stone and have the love it or what's the next size up I never get. We got a like it size, a love it size, and then there's the one bigger yet. Anybody know? I always want to get the big one. But I never do. I always like, well, I better just love it. one of these days, I'm going to, just so I can remember, I'm going to have to see what that big one is. But if I'm an athlete in training and I'm trying to win some special contest or some race, or I'm a football player that's trying to win the Super Bowl, I better be careful of my diet. I better not let my guard down. I mean, you might be like that guy from Green Bay. I don't mean to pick on Green Bay, but it's the only one I can think of. His name was Lacy, who was a running back that got cut. Why? Anybody? Why did they cut him? He what? He ate himself out of the league. I liked Lacy, by the way. Is it Eddie? Eddie Lacy? I kind of like that guy. I don't know why. I don't know him. But I think I liked the way he ran. He was like tough. A little bit like that crazy guy from Seattle. Marshawn Lynch. Yeah, you know him. But Eddie Lacy came back from whatever the time was off, and he had gained so much weight that they had to cut him from the team. A professional athlete making millions couldn't keep his body in check to make more millions. Can you imagine? You have an opportunity to make millions of dollars by playing a game, and you're going to lose it because you had too much Dairy Queen? Or maybe you had the extra, extra fries one too many times with the double quarter pounder with cheese, and you just couldn't stop. Come on! Quit with the fast food, lose a little weight, condition yourself, and go make your millions playing football, right? It's not so... But he... I shouldn't be so hard on him. I don't know the guy. And yet, isn't that exactly the way we live as Christians sometimes? We want everything easy. We want everything fun. We want everything blessing, blessing, blessing. And God's saying, it's a life of sacrifice. It's a life of service. What are you giving for me? I've already given everything for you. And what do you give me? Nothing. You're not running to win. You're just kind of hanging out. And that's a challenge that I take quite personally. And there are things that we give, and we know they're sacrifices. But when you're in the will of God, it's worth every little bit. I still remember when I was in the best shape of my life and my friend was slam dunking volleyballs and I joined him. I was doing 360 jams and I jumped from the free throw line and jammed a volleyball. I mean, can you imagine this guy doing that? Unbelievable. It blows my mind. And I would love to go back and do that again, but I can't. Can't do it. Do you want to know why I can't do that anymore? I'm okay. I'm tough. Just tell me. Too many Dairy Queens. Yeah. Well, I'm not a big Dairy Queen. Ooh. If I go Dairy Queen, I'm always going for those chicken strips with the gravy. Oh, come on. Come on, gravy, man. You can have your blizzards. I'll have my gravy with my chicken strips and my fries. Give me double gravy. Hallelujah. Let's have church. I'll tell you why I can't jam a volleyball anymore, because I don't discipline my body to do it. I believe at 49, for just a little longer, I could slam dunk a volleyball if I wanted it bad enough. But I don't want it. What could you do for the kingdom of God that just blows your mind to think that you could be so victorious, but you're not willing because you don't want it bad enough. How many souls could be serving God for the eternity right now if you gave that much? I mean, that's where it really comes down to it, doesn't it? How many people can we reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ? It takes aggressive training, it takes a strict diet, and it takes mental focus. Everyone's running, but here's the good news. Your strength comes from God. Look at 2 Corinthians, and we're going to breeze through these next two points because I really wanted to focus on that first one strong. Don't give up. Don't worry. You have more strength than you realize. I'm in the wrong place here. Second Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10. Here's the apostle. This is great. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, you know how you can actually paraphrase that? To keep me humble because I'm so awesome. I mean, really, you could paraphrase it that way. God, so to keep me humble because I do such awesome stuff, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and keep me from becoming conceited. Ooh, ouch. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, and I'm thinking, three times? That's it? I'd have gone 10 or 12. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, wow. Hallelujah. You think you're nothing? Awesome. Because God could take that and do something amazing. You think you're awesome? Ooh. Careful. God might want to bring you a thorn to remind you where the power comes. Don't you love God that way? Wow. He's so straight on. He's like, here's the deal. As you recognize it's me, I can use you more. And that's where we all need to be. So if you have a hesitation and you think, you know, this is a great message about giving it everything, but look at what God's got to work with. I mean, this is me you're talking to. If you're really humble and maybe even a little insecure, God can use that. If you give him everything, he can make awesome stuff happen through your heart. Now, I'm not saying to completely push aside any thought that you are awesome, because God makes awesome people. You're all awesome. If you understand what I'm trying to say, you are a beautiful, wonderful creation of God. But you have those limitations and you think those are reasons to not jump in. I say it's every reason to go all out. God can use your weakness for greatness, especially when you do it for him. When I'm weak, then I am strong. He may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit. Look at Ephesians with me. We're going to spend just a little time in Ephesians, then we'll go to number 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Lord, before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I liked what our speaker this week said about this passage. It's not that we haven't asked enough of God. It's probably more likely we haven't asked the right things of God. And he can take us to places we never imagined was possible. That's what that really means. He can take you where you don't think you could go. Matter of fact, it's so far from your mind that you couldn't even imagine it. That's where God wants you, as you give him your life. And I will say flat out, and it's my testimony, and I'll say it many times more, I should not be here today if it was my mind and my thoughts that led my path of life. If it was my way and my thoughts, my securities, my strengths, my knowledge, I would not be doing what I'm doing. It's unimaginable that I'm doing what I'm doing today. And if some of my classmates, which I know at least one is watching on our internet capabilities, I'm sure he's thinking, who is that guy? That's not Kevin. That's not the guy I went to school with. That's not the guy I ran track with. That's not the guy I played football with. That's not the guy that... He's not Kevin. And I'm saying, yes, this is Kevin only through the power of God. Because without him, I am nothing. As a matter of fact, I shouldn't be speaking because honestly, I don't really like to speak. At least that's what I thought. You want to talk about what it should have been with my own thoughts, my own minds? Is find me a mountain or a valley or a range or a place that's not with people for 100 miles possibility. That'd be awesome. I'd be happy. Now, that's not that I don't love you guys, because I really do. I love you lots. I do. But where do I really thrive? I thrive in the middle of nowhere with no one around. I might bring Tina with me, though. That'd be awesome. We can just go hang out, you know. I wouldn't want the island thing. You know, you can have your island. I want something bigger with animals. And yet God says, no, I want you to lead people. I want your identity to be through me, to present the gospel and the teachings that I have given so that people will grow in their faith so that they then can reach the lost. That's what I want you to do. And my answer is that's insane. God says, good, I can work with that. What's your insane? I'm not saying make it up and just go off on a tangent. I'm saying Spirit-led, awesome works of ministry that are giftings that only you can do are there for you to do, and you're not even aware of it. That's the kind of awesome power of God I'm speaking of. The strength comes from God. And so we get on to that last point, to press on. Everyone's running. Strength comes from God. Press on. Look at Philippians with me. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Brothers, verse 14, the key. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I still remember one of my favorite stories of a friend that I ran track with. He was a much better athlete than I was, and it came natural for him. But he was told or asked, or I don't even know how it came about, by the coach to run the 800, and he had no idea how to run the 800. And back then it was the 880. Hallelujah, all the old people. The 880. We were in yards still at that time. And so he's like, I don't know how to run the 880. And the coach says, you see that guy there? Yeah, he's really good. Well, run with him. Just run with him and you'll be fine. Okay. And he did it. That first lap, he ran this great, amazing first lap. And he comes around for that second lap, and I'm thinking, wow, this guy's actually going to do it. And he did. He crossed the finish line, and he was in so much pain. He's like, oh, this is what he looks like coming across the finish line. And he crashed and burned, and he rolls over, and he's like, and he's, coach, after he got his breath, I'm never running this again. And the coach is laughing. I'm sorry, Carl. You just qualified for the state tournament. What? Oh. That might be you. That might be you. You don't have any idea you're awesome at this until you get out and do it. Well, I don't know how to do it. Well, just run with this guy. And you're going to qualify for state. Oh, what I'd give to have that kind of athleticism, right? I mean, I was more of a football player anyway. I like to put the hit on. That's where I got my joy. I still remember those times, and I keep smiling. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy. Oh, I love a good hit. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, yeah. Verse 12. We're almost done, guys. I'll wrap this up. He says some profound points, and then verse 12 comes along where he follows up and says, which is why I suffer as I do. But I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. You have not yet attained the prize, according to Philippians. You need to forget what is behind and reach forward to the goal that is ahead of you. Keep going for the finish line. Keep running. Keep pushing through. Never let down. Never give up. If just like the girl on the video, if you fall on your face, get up and start running. Don't just throw in the towel. You know it is him who has called you. He is the one that will guard your heart. He is able to bring you to that place. Back up in that same chapter, the verse 7, it says, for God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. All of us are running. All of us are running a race, but not all who run, run as to win. Will you be one that runs as to win? I don't want to get into numbers, but the reality is in most churches, the numbers of those that run in such a way are small. Can you imagine if we had 100% participation of running to win? Can you imagine what that would be? Mind-blowing. It's possible. Would you stand with me as we close? Just a little encouragement for you. This is just a word from the Lord. I just received it. In your prayers, if you want to measure how you're doing in this sacrificial life of Christ, I want to ask you to consider this, and this is private, this is for you and you alone. In your prayer time, in your time with the Lord, how much of what you're doing has the center of I in it? How much of what you do for him is actually more of what he is doing for you? That's a great measure for you. Now, if you're a new believer, it's perfectly rational and understandable to be at that place. But we all need to get to the place where I am no longer the center of my focus in life, but somebody else is there instead. How much I or me takes the attention of your prayer time? And how much of what you do is for God and someone else? How well are we running? I want to run better. I want to run better than I am today when tomorrow comes. We don't have to fear. God's power is with us and in us. Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the challenge. So many years ago, you inspired the Apostle Paul to give these words to a people that needed a correction. They needed a guidance of focus. And here we are today, learning from the very same words. To run as if we are winning that race. We're going to win that race. Just like those guys today are going to battle it out on a football field for a prize, for that Lombardi trophy, raise it up and be proud of it. I get it. It's cool. But it's something that doesn't last. And yet, look what they give to win that trophy. Look at the sacrifice. Look what their bodies endure. The in-shape part, the weight training, the running, the hits they take, the bruises, the battles, the broken bones, all these things they go through. Why? To get this thing that lasts for a few days and then it's forgotten. And yet we've got something greater. Something that means so much more. May we run the race well, Lord. We need your strength. I pray your anointing to be upon each one. As you guide us into a place of understanding the sacrifice we must give for your kingdom and your glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. God.